Chapter 6. Magua's Prisoners.
Hawkeye's call to take cover was answered by a fierce shout from the enemy and more shots. One shot came very close to Duncan, who exclaimed, "That bullet was better aimed than usual." Hawkeye examined the flattened metal and said, "This bullet came from above." Uncas raised his rifle and pointed it at a tree on the other side of the river, nearly opposite their hiding place. An Iroquois was lying on a branch near the top of the tree, partly hidden and partly exposed. "Uncas," whispered Hawkeye, "we'll shoot from both sides of the tree at the same time." At Hawkeye's signal, they both fired. But the Iroquois simply laughed and fired at them again. The bullet cut through Duncan's red uniform. Eventually, the Iroquois exposed his body to the waiting rifles. Hawkeye and Uncas fired together. This time, they hit their target. The Iroquois grabbed desperately at one of the branches. He hung above the river until at last he lost all strength and fell into the water. There was no time to relax, though. At that moment, another Iroquois swam to Hawkeye's canoe and untied it. The canoe disappeared down the river. "What is going to happen now?" Duncan demanded. "The rest of our food and ammunition were in that canoe." "Our situation is hopeless," said Hawkeye, and he made a sign around the hair on the top of his head to indicate scalping. "But surely we can keep the Iroquois off the island," exclaimed the young major. "With what?" asked Hawkeye. "It is only a matter of time before we all die. It may be minutes or it may be an hour before they attack again, and then we have no hope." Chingachgook spoke. His words were like a chant. "Let them bring their sharpest knives. Today they face their worst enemy, Chingachgook, the great serpent," he said. Uncas joined in the chant. "May they look among the fish of the river for their dead," he said. Hawkeye said, "You two will provoke the Iroquois to kill you quickly with these words." "Why must you die?" asked Cora, coming carefully out of the cave. "The path is open. You can easily escape." "The only way open is down the river," said Hawkeye. "The Iroquois have not left any path open to the forest." "Then try the river. Don't stay here and wait to be victims of the Iroquois," said Cora. "The Iroquois will not kill defenseless women, so leave us here." "It is better for a man to die fighting and at peace with himself than for him to live with a bad conscience," Hawkeye answered. "What will we say to your father when he asks where his daughters are?" "Say that you left them as prisoners of the Iroquois, and that you will help him to follow and rescue them," Cora said. "That's a good idea," said Hawkeye. "You must break the bushes to mark your trail when the Iroquois capture you, and we will come after you, even to the ends of the earth." He turned and spoke to the Mohicans. Chingachgook agreed with the idea, but Uncas was unhappy. He looked at Cora. "I will stay," he said quietly to Hawkeye. "You will help her more if you come with us," Hawkeye replied. "We can return to Saver and the others when the Iroquois are not expecting us." Uncas thought for a few moments. He and Cora looked at one another. Then Uncas nodded his head in agreement and followed the other two men into the water. "Follow them, Duncan," said Cora. "I have often heard of your skill in the water. You will serve us better if you live and help to rescue us than if you stay and die." "I cannot possibly leave you both, Cora," said Duncan. "I don't see any Iroquois," he said, turning to David Gamut. "Let's hide in the cave and hope that they don't find us." Duncan pulled David into the inner part of the cave with the sisters and covered the opening with pine branches. They waited silently for a long time. After what seemed to be an eternity, David began to sing a soft hymn. Duncan did not object, as he was sure that David could not be heard above the noise of the waterfall. But as the song ended, they heard wild shouts from the entrance to the cave. "We are lost!" screamed Alice. "Not yet, not yet," Duncan reassured her. The shouts came closer. The Iroquois were in the cave. They moved around quickly, exploring the cave and looking through the things which Hawkeye and the Mohicans had abandoned there. Then they left, without discovering the inner cave where Duncan, David, and the sisters were hiding. As Alice turned to embrace her sister, her face turned pale with terror. Magua was standing at the back entrance to the cave. At first, he could not see them. The bright light from outside blinded him for a few moments in the darkness of the cave. Duncan raised his pistol and fired at Magua, but missed. The Indian gave a loud cry that brought the rest of the enemy into the cave from both entrances. Duncan, David, Cora, and Alice were surrounded by Iroquois and taken outside into the light of day. There, the Indians tied ropes around their necks and tied their hands in front of them. The Iroquois returned to the cave, but Magua remained outside. Finally, Duncan turned to him and said, "Magua, you traitor, what are your warriors looking for?" "I will tell you," said Magua. "They are looking for Hawkeye, who the French named the Long Rifle. His rifle is good and his eye never closes. We want his scalp as well as those of our other enemies." "He has escaped down the river," said Duncan. "You will not find him." "Why didn't you escape with him?" asked Magua. "I did not want to leave the women," said Duncan. "And where is the Mohican, the great serpent, and his son, the agile deer?" demanded Magua.
"You mean Chingachgook and his son Uncas. They have escaped too," answered Duncan.
Magua called to his men that the enemies they were looking for had escaped down the river. When the warriors heard this, some of them ran to the edge of the river and shouted. Others came towards the four captives. One grabbed Alice by her long curly hair and motioned around her scalp with his knife. Then Magua gave the order to move. He and six warriors led the captives to the upper part of the island next to the waterfall. The captives were forced into canoes. Duncan realized that the Indians were not taking them to Montcalm to be exchanged for money, and he became very worried. They traveled by canoe for some distance until they reached the place where the Indians had tied some horses. Then they left the canoes and traveled on horseback. Cora tried to leave signs, as Hawkeye had instructed her, but she was watched carefully by a big Iroquois who put his hand to his tomahawk when he saw her try to break a branch. After a while, the Iroquois stopped to rest in a clearing. Magua lay down under a tree a short distance from the rest of the group. Duncan went to him. "Magua, Colonel Monroe will give you a great reward for the return of his daughters," Duncan began. "What will you give for your life?" Magua asked Duncan. "I know that you love whiskey," said Duncan, "and I can give you all the whiskey you want." Magua listened to Duncan's words seriously and then answered, "Go, be silent. I will tell you what I want when I am ready." They continued to travel quickly, sometimes on horseback and sometimes on foot, until late in the afternoon. When they stopped to rest, Magua sat some distance from the others against a tree. Duncan went to him and asked what he had decided about the offer of a reward. Magua began, "Do the white men love their children?"
"Of course," Duncan replied. "All men love their children."
"Does the heart of Colonel Monroe grow soft when he thinks of his daughters?" Magua continued. "He is cold and hard as stone with his warriors."
"Certainly, he will pay you a great reward to have them return to him safely," Duncan responded. "He is a very loving father."
"Go and tell the dark-haired woman that I want to speak to her," said Magua. Duncan told Cora to promise guns, blankets, and whiskey for their freedom, and he took her to Magua. Magua signaled Duncan to go away, and he spoke directly to Cora.
"Listen," Magua began. "I am a chief and a warrior. I lived for 20 summers before I saw a white man for the first time, and I was happy. Then the French came to the forest and taught me to drink whiskey. I drank too much, and my people sent me away from my village to the French fort on the lake. There I had more problems, and they sent me away through the forest into the arms of my enemies, the Mohawks. First I was their slave, but now they have adopted me as a warrior."
"I have heard something of this before," said Cora, "but you cannot punish me for that. It is not my fault."
"I am not stupid," Magua went on. "When the French and the English began their war, I, Magua, and the Mohawks helped the English fight against my own people, the Hurons. Your father made a law that if the Mohawks drank whiskey and then came into the camp, they would be punished. I was a fool. I drank whiskey and then went to see your father. What did your father do? Can you say?"
He did not forget his words, replied Cora. And he punished you.
A strange light came into Magua's eyes. Your father had me tied up like a dog and whipped in front of all his soldiers. See, said Magua, pulling aside the shirt that covered his chest. Here on my body are the marks of a warrior from bullets and knives, but here on my back are the marks of shame made by your father.
It is possible that my father was unfair to you, but if you can show him that a chief does not take his vengeance on innocent women, he will reward you as Major Hayward says, said Cora.
Magua shook his head.
What do you want, then? Continued Cora after a pause.
Justice, said Magua. Good for good and bad for bad.
Do you want to punish my father's daughters for what he has done? Asked Cora.
Your sister and the two men can return to your father, Magua said. But you must come with me and live as my wife with my people.
There can be no pleasure in sharing your home with a wife who does not love you, Cora replied. Take my father's gold and buy the heart of a Huron woman.
Magua took a step nearer to Cora and said, No, you will come with me. That is my vengeance on your father. His heart will ache when he knows that his daughter is always in reach of my anger.
Monster! Cried Cora. I will never agree to this.
Magua only smiled and motioned her to go away. He then walked to the Iroquois and began to speak to them. They became more and more excited as he continued. When he finished speaking, they were all on their feet. The Iroquois began to tie the four prisoners to trees and to put wood at their feet to make a fire. Duncan and David tried to resist, but it was impossible. All four were tied to trees. Suddenly, they heard a shot, and one of the Iroquois fell to the ground, dead. Hawkeye, Uncas, and Chingachgook ran into the clearing. It took the Iroquois only a moment to react to the attack. Magua pulled out his knife and ran at Chingachgook. The two warriors wrestled with each other as the fighting raged around them. At the same time, Duncan managed to free himself and grabbed one of Magua's weapons from under a tree. But Duncan did not see an Iroquois approaching him with a knife in his hand.
Major Hayward, be careful, cried Hawkeye.
As Duncan turned around in horror, Hawkeye ran to the Iroquois and knocked him to the ground with his rifle. Meanwhile, Uncas had killed several Iroquois with his tomahawk. Suddenly, he saw an Iroquois moving towards Cora. Uncas threw his tomahawk to cut the ropes that held her to the tree. Cora ran to her sister, Alice, and freed her, but the Iroquois moved towards her again. He grabbed Cora by her long hair and forced her to her knees. As the Iroquois raised his knife to Cora's head, Uncas leapt through the air and plunged his knife into the chest of his enemy. Nearby, Chingachgook and Magua were still fighting. Finally, Magua was knocked to the ground by Chingachgook, but he still managed to escape into the forest. The rest of Magua's war party lay dead in the clearing. Duncan ran to Alice's side. She was crying, and he put his arms around her to comfort her. Uncas, bloodstained from the combat, went to Cora.
You saved my life. Thank you, said Cora.
They looked at one another for a long moment, and then Uncas helped Cora to stand. Hawkeye went to free David, while Chingachgook moved among the bodies of their enemies, making certain that they were dead.